Please, it's too much winning. We can't take it anymore. Mr. President, it's too much. And I'll say, no, it isn't. We have to keep winning. We have to win more.
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
Johnny, what's the difference between us and them?
Because we live here.
Life moves pretty fast. You don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it.
How's it going, everyone? This is TJ Martinell at tjmartinell.com. Thank you for listening to the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. I'm coming to you as usual from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the state, the heart of Cascadia, the state of Washington. The date is May 2nd, 2022, another 15 days to flatten the curve. And I'm feeling good physically, but my mood is rather, I don't want to say morose, but it's May 2nd, it's 40 degrees outside and raining. And the weather forecast says it's going to rain every single day this entire week and never get above like the mid 60s. So, and I just got back from Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, hanging out with my buddy Vince. So this is not exactly what I was looking forward to. I'd say also that the view from my house currently is not picturesque, as opposed to you open it up and you see the mountains and you see hills and all that kind of stuff. And it looks, it's kind of, you can sit there and smoke a pipe or smoke a cigar and just enjoy the scenery. So I'm just thinking, okay, do I really want to have to deal with this for the next couple of weeks? Oh, I forgot to say which episode this is. This is the self-awareness episode. We'll get into that in a second. We're going to continue on with this current discussion. I just don't want to have to deal with this, because I can't do anything around the outside of the house. I've got all these projects that I wanted to do, and I can't do any of them. I can't work on the driveway because it's wet and it's cold. There's some stuff that I tried to set in the driveway to do some repairs. I don't think that stuff's ever set in properly because of the temperature. You know, the grass has grown a lot in a week and I still can't mow because it's wet and pouring down rain out. It's just, I don't mind. I grew up in the rain. I was born in it, molded by it. Yeah, I didn't see the sunlight until I was only a man. But this is just freaking ridiculous. And the other problem is I can't go on hikes that, unless I did some heavy research to figure out which ones are lower elevation, because all of them are in the snow line. And this is the point where the snow is all slippery and wet and unstable. And I've hiked that stuff before. I would do it if I had a gun pointed to my head or there was some very sexy young woman at the summit. But other than that, I would probably just not do it. I would prefer not to. And of course, now I'm looking at all these different places. Well, I can go visit this person. I can go visit this person. I can go visit that person. And then I'm looking everywhere. It's raining. It's cold. But remember, guys, global warming. The Earth is, you know, we're the Earth is getting warmer. The temperatures are going up. Of course, which is why they call it climate change now. But that is not what I really want to discuss on this podcast. I got a bit of a motorcycle riding yesterday. I'm honest. I got to be honest with you, dear listeners. I'm getting to the point where I don't feel comfortable riding it unless it's under very specific circumstances. It's becoming more and more limited. And the reason why is just because of the drivers on the roads. They're clogging up the state highway on the weekend, so it's not much of a ride. And these countryside roads that I try and go on, it's just, these people are retarded. You know, when it says, you know, speed limit 20 miles per hour around a sharp turn in a blind corner, the laws of physics, like for them, it's an advisement. It is a suggestion. It's a, you should go 20 miles per hour, but you can go 35 or 37 if you want to. When you're on a motorcycle and you can't see around the corner, that is not an advisement. That is a statement of physics. You are not getting around that corner faster than a certain speed unless you're, you know, you have an Evel Knievel type attitude where if I get hit by a car coming around the corner, so be it. Because you have to look to where you want to go, and if you can't see around the corner, you don't know where you're going. You can only look so far into the distance. I was hoping to actually get another motorcycle, but the guy never contacted me. Like, the third time I've tried to get a cool new vehicle, and the guy just blows me off. You know, it's almost like buying vehicles is the equivalent of dating now. You know, you're just going to assume that some of a good chunk of them are going to flake. You just assume. So like I said, this podcast episode is going to be called the self-awareness episode. And I guess I'll start out by explaining what self-awareness is. That is where you have, I mean, it seems self-explanatory, but I'll just get to one of the punchlines. Most people lack the most basic form of self-awareness. And to succeed in much of life today, you have to lack self-awareness, or you have to have self-awareness and not care. Like, you know what's going on and you don't care. You know, I'd say that's the difference probably between a sociopath and other types of people with mental disorders is that again, I'm not a psychologist. I don't fully know the difference or understand the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath, but the people who know what they're doing and just don't care. Like, they understand what they're doing as opposed to they who know not what they do. And whether this is a person, is it genetic? Is it a personality trait? Is it I think that it's probably a combination of things. I don't think it's just one thing. I don't think it's some sort of like racial, you know, or by genetic thing. There's no self-awareness gene. Self-awareness is when you're aware of the situation, depending on the context. Like, you are self-aware of your position within the context of a interaction, a situation, or just life itself. And there's a lot of different examples that I could give. I guess one is self-awareness for men would be easy, is when some guy is approaching a girl and she is giving off every single subtle sign that she is not interested, and he lacks the self-awareness to realize that so that he can gracefully and politely and tactfully disengage and save face. Or in contrast, a man who is completely unaware. There's actually a movie that has a guy who lacks self-awareness in the sense that I'm about to describe, a guy who the girl is just all over him and he is completely oblivious. It's a movie called Hold That Ghost. It was with Abbott and Costello. Came out in the 40s. It's a pretty funny film. Their films are very eclectic if you haven't seen them. Much of it involves just random scenes that have nothing to do with driving the plot. But there's this one, like, professor, college professor, university professor type. And he's got the nerdy glasses. And he's just obsessed with his experiments and all this, all whatever he's doing. And there's this cute girl that's with the whole crew. They're in some dilapidated tavern, and she's just flirting with him the whole time, and he's completely oblivious until it just something clicks. He gets that moment of clarity and realizes, so you're interested. You had no idea. And again, what causes people to get that moment of clarity, I have no idea. This has to do, I think, with the way that their brain functions, the way that they process information. And if you don't take the right route, you'll never get to that destination. And other forms of self-awareness are when people understand the long-term consequences or benefits of their actions. And as before, there's plenty of examples that we could give. We could give examples of where somebody is making long-term good decisions. And they, more importantly, and this is the part where we got to, I want you all to follow me. I want you to have self-awareness on this. We're talking about people who know what they're doing as opposed to people who really don't fully understand what they're doing. You've seen The Sandlot. There's that one scene where all the boys are in the pool and they're looking up at Wendy Peppercorn, and she's sitting there oiling her legs, and they're all sitting there gawking at her because she's a cute teenage girl. And one of the kids says, "She don't know what she's doing." And Benny, the oldest kid, says, "Yeah, man, she knows exactly what she's doing." So she has self-awareness about the fact that she is displaying off her legs and kind of giving off this sensuality as befitting a teenager, which is why, you know. And then, of course, Squints, you know, pretends to have half drowned, and she's doing CPR on him, and he kisses her. And then everybody says, "Did you plan that?" And he goes, "Of course I did. I've been planning it for years." So again, I wasn't thinking to use that example, but it just occurred to me. We fly on the seat of our pants here on the Mountain Pass podcast. He says, "Yeah, I've been playing it for years." He knew what he was doing when he went out and did that. That was where he didn't just randomly jump into the pool in the deep end where he can't swim, wondering if, like, what am I gonna do? I don't know. He knew what was gonna happen. He knew that she was gonna swim in there, grab him, pull him out, and do CPR, and then he could steal a kiss. So it's an example of someone who is acting and making decisions in life with a plan. They're planning. They have a self-awareness about what's going on. And there's different levels of self-awareness, and there's self-awareness that is more more extensive than others. You know, some person can have very strong self-awareness on a certain issue and then just be dumb as bricks on everything else. You know, somebody who's very good at understanding some part of their life, and then there's other parts they're just a disaster zone. Like you couldn't tell the difference. They belong in a special needs classroom. And so, this is where we get into a really interesting conversation here. Is the perception, I'd say, fundamentally, not for nothing, guys, is the perception of reality, of what is and isn't, just life truths. And people tend, if they haven't had correct and a diverse enough life experience, they develop false perceptions of reality. They develop a lack of self-awareness about who they are. or they refuse to accept reality, and they are, and they're aware of it, and then that causes all sorts of other dysfunctions. That causes borderline mental illness stuff, because you have to completely reroute parts of your brain so you block out stuff that you don't want to deal with. Now, and I'll give you an example of that, is where some people will believe that certain things don't happen to them. That only happens to other people. You know, getting cancer, getting in a car wreck and, you know, losing a leg, having a kid drowned in the family swimming pool. All these things happen to other people because I'm special. You know, I'm different. I'm set apart from the masses. That is a false perception of reality, because they assume that their mindset, that their mentality determines reality. Like, do you impose your will on reality, or does reality impose its will onto you? And the person who understands that reality is what reality is, and you can't change it. Like, it's the laws of physics. You can't change physics. You can't change any law that's based in the law of gravity. You can get around it, like with the airplane, but you can't. But when the plane stops working, the plane crashes. It can defy the laws of gravity or by using the laws of other laws, you know, the idea of lift. But it doesn't change the law. The laws still apply to the airplane as much as it does to the plane that's on the ground, because its propeller broke, right? So the laws didn't change. And acknowledging that you need an engine and propellers you need all these things, you're acknowledging that those realities exist, that gravity exists, that it applies to you as much as it does to everybody else. And if you don't have these things, then you aren't going to fly. And people can get lucky over the years. They can get lucky, and they can go through, in fact, sometimes they can go through their entire life being oblivious, lacking self-awareness, because they lack self-awareness to the point where nobody knows what to do with them. Because they lack self-awareness so much. And I think at some point, actually, with self-awareness, it gets to the point where it's not a lack of self-awareness. It's a stubborn refusal to just accept reality. And this is actually a life principle and a self-awareness I've gained. If someone doesn't have to deal with something, they won't. And they don't care about the fact that other people have to deal with it, in terms of giving advice or giving counsel or making observations. They don't feel like they need... If you can tell... If someone has ever dealt with the problem by how they provide advice or suggestions or counsel on it, you know, somebody who's dealt with cancer, let's say there's somebody who has cancer. I just use it because it just comes out. I obviously don't have cancer. And someone begins giving very specific advice that you understand makes sense, because it's correlating with your own experiences, where they say you're going to be dealing with this and this, and this is how you handle it, and here's the ways I deal with it. But they're giving good advice, and you know they're giving good advice because of how they're framing the discussion. As opposed to somebody who just starts talking completely out of their ass and has no problem saying stuff and doesn't really pause to, like, see how you're incorporating this information into you're absorbing this stuff. They're just saying it. It's because it's not their problem. They don't have to deal with it. They don't have to understand it, and they lack the self-awareness to realize that. I mean, there's some people who have self-awareness, and whatever people want to say, whatever you dear listeners want to say, I have the self-awareness to understand that there are things in life I've never dealt with, I will probably never have to deal with, in some cases I will never have to deal with it. I don't know how to deal with it, and I'm not going to give advice or counsel or suggestions on how to actually deal with it. You know, I don't know what it's like to be in combat. I don't know what it's like to have your friends blown up by an IED. I don't know what it's like to go around in an environment where everybody, all the civilians who don't look like you, could theoretically pull out a gun or a bomb and blow you up and kill you. And you have to make split-second decisions on that. I don't know what it's like. I can try to imagine it. But if someone were to come to me and talk about how they have residual effects of being in that environment, I would not be giving them advice or counsel. If a woman came, if I was talking to a woman who was talking about how she was having side effects of pregnancy, I'm not giving her advice. I'm not telling her how to deal with the effects of having a living human being growing inside of you. Because I don't, as a man, I know this is controversial to say in the year 2022, I don't know and will never know what that's like. I'm going to let her reach out to or talk to other mothers and women her age who've already dealt with this. Or someone who's dealing with, say, they're dealing with a relative that they have to take care of because they're sick and they can't afford medical care. And, you know, they feel a sense of responsibility, but it's a profound burden on them. You know, I don't know what the emotions are like with that. And it's easy for people to say, well, it's not your problem. You know, let's say it's not your parent, but it's like an uncle or a cousin or whatever. But you're the one whoever you're talking to, they're the ones taking care of it. Taking care of the relative. They're the ones who are bearing the financial burden. They're the ones who are feeling that burden emotionally. And for a person who has never dealt with that, they would just say, well, why do you feel this obligation? I don't understand why you feel this obligation to this person. Why don't you have someone else take care of them? It's not your problem. That's easy for you to say because it's not your uncle or whatever it is. It's not your family member. You don't know what it's like to have those emotions. There are two different types of people who in that situation. Somebody who has the self-awareness to realize, I don't know what it's like to have to take care of an aging relative who's not my parent and is a financial burden onto me. And then there's those who don't know what that's like, but they think that they think that their lack of having that problem is because they would have made a different decision. I mean, it's like the guy who goes to war and comes back and, you know, one of them realizes the reason I came back and a lot of my buddies didn't is purely just happenstance. The mortar went off at the mortar blew up their foxhole and not mine. The mortar that landed in mine was a dud. The sniper chose to shoot the guy next to me instead of myself. Their tank got hit by their tank got hit by the IED. Mine didn't. All these different things where you just realize it was happenstance. And then there's a guy who could come back from war and say, this didn't happen to me because I made better choices and decisions than the soldiers that around me that died. I mean, that is a person who lacks self-awareness and will take that lack of self-awareness into other areas of their life. Or someone, I think that this is the worst case example, is when someone has a lot of fortunate or fortuitous experiences early on in life where things just happen the way that they were supposed to happen or the way they wanted to happen and there was no hiccups, they get this sense that they will it to be so and that's how life is. And the worst case scenario is when they continue to have that happen to the point where they lack the self-awareness to understand that they were not actually in control. Other people, other things were involved, and they were just fortunate to have everything, click into place to make whatever happened happen. I'll give an example from my own life. My house, the first house I bought, that was a completely fortuitous purchase. Like everything, there were things that if they had not happened precisely the way it did, I would not have had I wouldn't have gotten the house. Right, I have that self-awareness. So when someone comes to me and says, TJ, how would you buy a house? I know not to say, well, here's what I did and this is what you should do as well. Because that's like, You know, it's like winning the lottery, and then someone says, "How do you win the lottery?" Well, the odds somehow are in your favor. I don't know. But I would never tell somebody, "Well, you should go to this place and you should talk to this person, and you know, if you're as awesome as me, they'll turn out to be a real estate agent, and then this house will be put on the market the day that you happen to be in town, and the person will just happen to be an astute in an estate sale where they have no financial incentive to sell it for anything higher than the asking price because they just want to get rid of it. And they don't pocket any more of the profit. They just need to sell the house in order to complete a estate sale or execute someone's will." Right? There's no way you can plan for that. You can look for it, but to have that all fall into place, it's impossible. You can't make that happen. And I see this with a lot of people where they think that things happened in their lives because they made it happen, as opposed to having things happen to them that were positive. And this is where men, as men, we balance out things in life. There are things in life that, as men, we make happen. But there are much of that where someone else somewhere made it happen. The degree to which they participated in it. I'll give an example with the weight room. I'm in good shape. I'm in good, strong physical condition because I choose to go to the weight room and I make it happen. But I would not be able to do that without a gym that someone else built, that someone else manages, that someone else assumes the financial risks of, that someone else maintains. And yes, I could go order dumbbells, but again, I need someone to make the dumbbells for me. I need someone to deliver them to my house. And I could, you know, use resistance bands. Again, someone else has to do something in order for me to do it. Now, yes, I could do push-ups and some gravitational or gravity-based workouts. Like theoretically, yes, I could do that. I would not be as strong as I am today doing it that way. I'm strong in the position that I'm strong in with the amount of investment and time and the manner because other, not just because of what I do, but because other people make it happen. Right? If the gym I go to closes, it's the only one in my town, I'm going to be, it's going to affect my life. And my desire to have that gym remain open has no bearing on the case. This also goes into people's ideas of success. You know, they've achieved successes in life, and you can tell they don't know what actually made it happen. They didn't go into it thinking it was going to be successful, or knowing it was going to be successful. They don't know what made it work. They don't know what made it popular. They don't know what made them wealthy in the sense that they don't understand it. So they don't ever try to go outside of it. They stick with what they know. They can't replicate that success elsewhere because they don't know what made it successful. It's the same thing with people, you know, here's the lack of self-awareness. When they were doing the Star Wars sequels, the latest ones, these were people who didn't understand what made Star Wars Star Wars. They didn't understand the context. They didn't study the films. Even George Lucas kind of didn't understand what made Star Wars Star Wars. You know, one person pointed out in the entire prequel series, there was no Han Solo character. The films just weren't, they didn't have that sense of adventurous comedy. And some of the films weren't terribly bad, but they didn't mimic or have the same feel as the original movies. Because I think the fans understood what made it work more than the people who made some work behind the films. A person can be successful without knowing why. They can be successful just by being in the right place at the right time. Let's say you were a real estate agent in, San Francisco. You were doing that in the 60s or 70s, right? Well, imagine you continue to be a real estate agent for the next 40 years. Right? You're going to make a fortune. Some schmuck in another part of the country isn't going to make a fortune off of being a real estate agent. They'll make a decent living, but they're not going to make the kind of money you'll be making pulling, San Francisco. And the key part of that is, did that person move to San Francisco knowing that they were going to make money there? Or did they happen to just live in San Francisco and just happen to be a real estate agent and didn't think, I'm going to be a millionaire here and I'm going to make money because I studied the market and I know that the trends are showing this? Like, that is a separate thing from someone who's conscious, who doesn't fully understand what's going on. Lack of self-awareness can also occur in relationships, human relationships. Where people don't understand why. I mean, I guess I'll use the dating example where a man or a woman continues to attract certain types of the opposite sex and gets frustrated because it's not what they're looking for. And what's going on is they lack self-awareness about themselves. And this doesn't make them bad people. But they don't understand that they're coming across a certain way. Or maybe they do, and they just don't know how to change it. So that's a different issue. But someone who, at the very least, they detect the pattern. But this goes, what I'm about to say, goes back to the whole issue of self-awareness and perception of reality. There are people, I'll give two archetypes. There's someone who just acknowledges reality as what it is. Things are as they are, and you can operate within those rules, and you can overcome some of those rules, but you can never break those rules. Those rules are those rules. And because they see that as an external, where reality imposes its will on you, you look at other people as independent human beings. You also look at them and you see how their actions will lead to certain consequences, good or bad. But you also understand that if they want to, they can change, or if they have the genuine desire. Most won't, but you understand that it's their decision, and also their future is not determined by you. Like, you don't have, this is the key part, you don't have a script. So in the theater of your life, in the movie of your life, you don't have a script. It's more like it's not a movie for you. It's not it's not a theater of life, I guess is the best way to say it. It's more like a free, like one of those online RPG games. That stuff from Ready Player One, or what, like everybody gets to be what they want. And you are just one of many people in that world. You know, so for example, when you're playing a video game, you're watching a movie, watching a movie or doing whatever, where it's specifically, let's say, a first-person shooter, or you're playing a Zelda or something like that. Those games, the movies, the theater, they all have main characters. There's the protagonist. There's the person who is, the story is about this person. You know, the movie Patton is about Patton. The movie Michael Collins is about Michael Collins. He is the central focus of this film. The film is about him. And everyone's roles and their depictions in there is in relation to their relationship
with him and now how they, what role they played in his life. The perspective is looked at from the main characters. And so the supporting characters are always going to be the supporting characters. The supporting characters, you don't have a supporting character become the main character halfway through the theatrical play or halfway through the movie in almost any circumstance I've ever seen. They may seem like a side character, but they're not. I think the closest I've ever seen is Appaloosa, which was with Viggo Mortensen and Ed Harris. That was an interesting film. But other than that, the idea is, do you look at the world where the world around you, there's rules, there's just rules of life that everybody has to adhere to, and everybody gets to choose what the script of their own life is going to be. They get to choose that. Or are you the type of person who sees reality as something that you make it happen the way you want to? It is a movie. The movie's about you. And everyone's existence is confined to a supporting role in your life. Or at least some people. Like you have a script. There's some people who are just NPCs in a video game sense, or they're just supporting cast, but they're not secondary. Like, you know, I'd say Theoden from Lord of the Rings, right? He's not a main character. He's not some random character, but he is a supporting cast. He's part of the supporting characters in a movie that is primarily about Frodo. And there's moments when Theoden steps into the light, but he then departs and steps into the limelight. Like he's a focus of a scene. He is not the focus of the movie. And what this means is that people have scripts for people where this person's going to succeed. Frankly, I think that parents do this with their kids in a lot of cases. This one's going to be this. And if you're saying, well, that wasn't my parents. Okay, we are talking on a social collective. We're talking about millions of people. We're not talking about your family life. Again, if you're thinking that, you lack self-awareness to realize we're not talking about you. We're talking about a lot of people where they have a script and they may not even actively impose it. They do it passively. They decide this son is going to be the one who's going to be assertive and dominant and confident, and we're going to support that. You know, when he gets out there and he's arrogant and he's, you know, just trying to take the world by the horns, we're going to support him passively or not. But this other son, he could be of either the eldest, youngest, whatever. This son is going to be he's the one that we're going to put into a box. He's going to do very precise things with his life, and we really don't care about what he wants. So he's going to be the lawyer, and that's just the script. We've handed you a script at age 10. You're going to be a lawyer. You're going to go out there and do all this stuff, and your entire life is revolved around that. And any attempt to deviate from that is deviating from your script that we gave you. Even more bizarre versions of this is when you, and the expression people have been giving is the crabs in the bucket, you know, where you're trying to get out of problems that everybody else has. And I'd say that's a different form of the script where I think, so let me continue kind of expanding on this. There's a script that everybody feels like they're handed, and it applies to everybody. Everybody's going to kind of follow the life script. And anyone who tries to deviate from that is not following their lines. They're not reciting the right dialogue. They're not doing the right actions. And people immediately sense it. They sense it instinctively, but they may even lack the self-awareness that they're doing it. I'll give a kind of an example. Let's say there's some guy, he's a software engineer, kind of nondescript or whatever, and then he just suddenly goes to the gym, loses 30 pounds, he's in good shape, he cuts his hair and stops looking like a dork, he replaces his glasses with contacts, and instead of being shy, he immediately starts, you know, flirt, you know, they go to the bar and he just cleans up with, as far as the ladies are concerned. He drives a motorcycle, he becomes much more dominant and confident. Most people are going to be bothered by that because that is someone who has rejected a script that they were probably handed in life of this is who you're going to be and we will not interact with you in a metaphysical sense until you start reading from the script again. And for those who lack self-awareness, you're probably going to be thinking, oh, you mean people literally say this? No. This goes back to self-awareness. People are not literally going to go up to someone and say, hey, you're not reading from the right script, so we're not going to associate with you anymore. No, it means you don't get invited to social events anymore. People aren't eager to talk to you at the workplace. They don't want to be around you at the bar because you're able to... I'm talking about this specific guy. You know, they don't want to talk to you at the bar because you're picking up more attractive women. They feel insecure about the fact that you've broken out of the script that you were handed. And they may lack the self-awareness like some people potentially listen to this podcast. If you're not a regular listener. I'm assuming the regular listeners of you, my loyal listeners, I'm assuming you have that level of self-awareness where you realize, oh, if you make changes in your life that are positive, there are people who aren't going to like it because that's not their perception of you. And that perception is what I call the script. Their perception is you're going to be the guy who's not, you know, let's say there's a guy who's just like, yeah, this guy isn't going to amount to anything. He's not going to make it in life. He's going to fail. He's going to stumble. He's just constantly going to have bad things happen to him. And then suddenly he becomes a millionaire and drives a nice motorcycle and has a hot young wife at his side, right? That to them offends them on many levels, but primarily and fundamentally, it is because it happened without their consent. You didn't get their permission to change and improve your life. You didn't get their consent to date women that they think is above your status as a man. And the reason that that's a problem is because they believe that they shape reality through their will. Whereas, let's say I had a buddy of mine who was a guy just like that. And I knew someone who was an engineer or a guy who just, he suddenly got in shape. He got his act together. He then quit his job and started working somewhere else and was making even more money and just success after success after success. I would look at that and just say, that is awesome that he was able to figure that stuff out because I didn't have an impression of what his life's going to be because that's his decision to make. I don't have a script for other people. Now, what I do have is not a script, but an ability to anticipate and predict where people's life trajectories are going if they continue on their course of actions. And getting out of that trajectory can be difficult. It requires, for a lot of people, it can require a lot of hard work. But that's not me making that decision. That's just the law, the realities of life. You know, if you're a derelict parent or you're an absentee parent or you're, I'm trying to think of other examples. If you just do engage in certain behavior long term, there are things that are more likely than not inevitable that will happen. But that is the realities of life. I did not write those rules. the rules of reality, I didn't write them, I just read them. It reminds me of what a preacher used to say when people would get upset about, you know, him quoting the Bible. He'd say, I didn't write this, I'm just reading what it says. Like, if you have a problem with it, have a problem with what I read, not the fact that, like, don't get mad at me, this is not my authorship. And I can say that being someone who has a relatively high level of self-awareness is a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing because you see things for what they are and you're not self-deceived. The problem is, it is a very isolating experience. Because it's like being able to see and everyone around you is blind to something that you think is obvious right in front of your eyes. And this is actually an interesting dynamic as far as my opinion on the Western world today. We have so many things that are dysfunctional and unnatural and not correct, to put it mildly, that in order to navigate that without losing your mind, you have to have a lack of self-awareness on some level. You don't do well in the corporate world today, in the year 2022, and perhaps even earlier, but I'm just saying today, if you are moving up in a corporation, particularly a major one, there's some lack of self-awareness. Now, what that self-awareness is, I don't know. Or you may be aware on some level, but not a full level. Because let me explain why, because this may be interpreted as an insult or attacking people. No, this is, or maybe this is just people who aren't fully aware of what's going on. But I can say this is that if you're exposed to dysfunctional or deranged behavior, and it doesn't affect you emotionally, there's something wrong with you too, right? And people, I've had this discussion with people, and I go, would you take your 6-year-old child and put them in an insane asylum to be surrounded by insane people? No. Why is that? As long as they're not physically attacking them. That, you know, they're not even addressing the kid. You know, the kid has to just watch the behavior, right? And you don't get to provide any context. You don't get to explain that they're mentally ill, right? It's going to affect their mental health as well. Mental illness, this is for a separate podcast, but mental illness is a disease that will infect other people. It affects other people by making mentally ill behavior normal. And I think the other self-awareness that we see, and I did this podcast recently, is where people clearly mistake ultimatums for negotiations, or they lack self-awareness about things that are not up for debate, they see as debatable. So it goes all the way back to that lack of self-awareness that you see. Where people don't fully understand what's going on. They don't fully understand what the dynamics are. They don't fully understand human nature. You know, like I was saying, if you're a person, I could do a whole other podcast on this, and I probably will, because I missed a couple episodes last week because I was in Gettysburg and I was too busy having a good time. But I will be addressing this probably more so in the days to come. If you have self-awareness, you have to figure stuff out in life primarily on your own. Because most people, especially if you're trying to have these discussions or figure this stuff out with normal average person or just online, most people lack the self-awareness to understand that much of what they're saying is highly contextualized to their life and doesn't apply to you. You know, like what you want as a self-aware person may be completely, is going to be completely different from what a person with no self-awareness has, as far as what is for what as far as what is what they want or how they think that you get it. On top of that, if you're a highly self-aware person, you're going to watch out for the fact that there are people who they lack self-awareness, but they are self-aware enough to know that you are. And that can also bother them as well. You know, if you're trying to figure out how to navigate the world today, and it depends on your station in life. Are you married with four kids? Are you a 80-year-old man? Are you a 25-year-old woman? Or are you in your mid-30s like I am and a bachelor? You know, you're going to have to plan out your life in not in secrecy, but you're going to have to keep most of your cards close to the chest as far as what you want to accomplish, because most people are not going to understand what you're doing. Let's say you're a middle-aged man and you're married and you want to make changes in your life. You want to change your family. You want to make improvements to your family and you decide you're going to do it. You got to plan that quietly. And you got to do, you can't make some big announcement. You just have to start making those changes, but you're also going to have to do it without really consulting or talking to anybody else about it. You know, your buddies that aren't making changes in their life, they're not going to support you making changes in your life, because then that puts pressure on them to actually do something in their own lives. Let's say you start going to the gym and you start throwing off some weight. Let's say you start asserting yourself more in your family life, and that makes people uncomfortable, because that's not the gym that we knew. That's not the Mike that we've known for years. Why are you deviating from your script, Jim? I guess that's another reality of life, is you can't put too much stock in people's opinions if you know that they lack if their level of self-awareness overall is lower than yours, because they're going to be looking at it. It's like you are trying to you've got binoculars and you're looking at a landscape. And you're asking him to give his thoughts on what he sees, but he doesn't have binoculars. He is not going to be able to discuss it the way you do, because he can't see what you see. That self-awareness lens just isn't there. And I think as far as, you know, most important thing some of the most important things for people to become aware of what script people have written for you. Become aware of those who don't care and don't have a script for you. Because for people who are self-aware or you want to make changes in your life, you're going to end up with people who do not have a script. And you're going to lose relationships, friendships. I'm not going to talk about the whole marriage thing, but like, you're going to lose social interactions with people who have a script for you that you no longer either want to abide by or you just refuse to abide by, because they are not going to accept you violating their perception of reality, which is that they decide what is and isn't. And if you don't get their permission and you don't have their authorization and you don't have their consent, you don't get to do it. And they are not going to compromise on that. And when you finally break away and you deviate from the script and you start living your life differently, they're going to go into all sorts of mental gymnastics to describe to rationalize how you were able to do something without their permission. And becoming aware of those who have scripts and write scripts for other people. They don't literally write it down. For those of you who lack the self-awareness to understand, these are all analogies, right? They mentally perceive people to be certain ways, and that will never change. And I guess another reality of life is it's easier to break out of certain scripts than others. You know, if you're known as the rebel when you're a kid who's constantly rebelling and you're constantly doing all this other stuff and you're causing trouble and you're in jail and all that stuff and everybody's just written you off as a criminal and you decide to turn your life around, most people are going to accept. It's just easier because that's a different... There is a script for that, but people can't say... They can't say anything negative about it. Man, I don't understand why you have to stop doing drugs. I don't understand why you're quitting cigarettes. The only people who are going to do that are toxic people. You know, your fellow criminals. Your fellow drug addicts. People that you don't look at who aren't providing any meaningful support for you. So it's easier, I would assume, I could be wrong, to walk away from that. You know, the person who's disagreeable, who's argumentative, who's conflict-driven, who's known to just be difficult to deal with, them changing it and becoming more agreeable, becoming more laid back, that's easier to do than the opposite. So I guess the takeaway for everybody listening is to, do you have a script? Do the people around you have a script for you and other people in their life? Are you aware of that? And if so, and also, do you want to make changes in your life? And if so, what are they? And who is most likely to get in the way? Not physically, not literally get in the way, but where they're going to be opposing you or not, or voicing their lack of support for what you're doing. So on that note, I hope you enjoyed listening to this podcast. If you enjoyed my podcast, you'll probably enjoy my books. In fact, you will enjoy my books. They're all available at tjmartinell.com. You can buy them through the links. You can then leave a review. Much appreciated. So, hope you enjoyed listening to this episode of the New Adventures of the Mountain Pass podcast. This is your host, TJ Martinell, coming to you from my war room in my Fortress Americana in the heart of Cascadia. Signing off.
It's over. Go home. Go.